Medical Center with you. It's personal and Comfort Air.
I'm with Carrie Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Carrie, energy costs today are on a lot of people's minds. What can you convey to your customers who may have reservations about purchasing a new furnace or air conditioner?
Well, it's kind of the thought. Do you want to keep putting money into your old furnace that's maybe giving you 50% out of every dollar that you put in it? Or go to a Bryant modulating furnace that's 97% efficient, keeps you comfortable, as well as saves you a little bit of money?
What does the slogan really stand for Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant, whatever it takes means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. We have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Carrie, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 424-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have a blend of clouds and sun, high of 79. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 15. For tonight, it'll be mostly clear, low of 55. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. As we start off the weekend for Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny, a little bit warmer at a high near 80. For Sunday, we'll see more sun than clouds with a high near 82. And for Monday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherAlgae.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Under sunny skies, it's 70 in Wausau, 71 in Marshfield, 70 in Stevens Point, and 73 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Pry. As you just heard on their commercial, their local phone number is 715-422-0700, and that's where you can reach your local investment professionals. And Pete Pry is in the studio, and the topic today, S&P 500. And first off, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'd be interested in getting your take. Yesterday, it looked like the markets all around the world all of a sudden started getting a little bit of that panicky kind of stuff. There was some negative news here, negative news there, and all of a sudden everybody's jumping off the bridge.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a lot of different ways you can attribute it to. I think the overall good return that we've had in the past, you know, year, give or take. I think the mentality of the markets have been based on 2000 to 2002 and late 2007 to 2009, that people sell first and ask questions later, especially if you've got have made some money here and not give it all back. This is always kind of an interesting time in the marketplace. Much like around here, it seems that August is a very popular vacation time for people, getting a little relaxation before the schools and the sports and everything revs up again. And it's not indifferent, or it's not any different anywhere in the our country, and obviously in certain parts of Europe, they take the whole month of August off. And the point is, there isn't quite as much volume activity, there's maybe not as many buyers as there might be. So when things start to go down, and there's not that magnitude of money and players in it, it's easier to go down. The other component that goes into effect here is not that any of my clients I ever advise doing this, or the average investor probably doesn't, but many particular players borrow money to use to buy stocks.
Okay.
And it's called margin. And at this point in time, there is, this is the highest level of margin in the history of the market. So if you've borrowed money in an attempt to amplify your returns on the upside, it also magnifies the losses on the downside. So if you're a margin player, again, you just get out and either take what you got as a gain or mitigate your losses.
Okay. So let's get into our main topic today, Pete. It is the S&P 500. What is it, and why is it actually a better barometer of the economy's overall health?
Well, the S&P 500, there's a variety of different indexes that you can follow in the marketplace. And I think one of the ones that is most often quoted or used on any kind of news program, and that is the Dow Jones. And the Dow Jones is a representative of just 30 companies in the United States, and they try and do a job of trying to diversify into different sectors, which we'll talk about a little later. But the S&P 500 is, again, an index. As the number 500 indicates, it has 500 different companies. Because of the sheer number, 500 versus 30, it tends to be a little more indicative of the overall economy because you have different size companies in there. You have companies that are a little more specialized in particular areas. And when you look at the Dow Jones and you look at General Electric, well, for a long time, General Electric was pretty much a manufacturing company. And then in the 90s and into the 2000s, half their revenue came from a finance side of the. And there's a variety of companies over there that do a variety of different things. So you get the biggest companies, mainly leaders in particular areas, whereas in the S&P, you get so many different companies, a lot of them specialize in one particular area rather than in multi-areas. And so by having more, it's a better indication simply of the economies and what's going on in the particular sectors of those economies.
Okay. So let's talk about the 10 sectors that make up the S&P.
Yeah, I think this is a really important part for the education of investors is that what the S&P then does is further divide themselves into different sectors whereby those particular sectors are reflective of all the companies that would be categorized in there. And so a lot of those sectors are fairly self-evident of what they would particularly be. When you look at utilities as one sector,
right,
it's your electric, it's your water,
right,
and those type of things. Energy, financial, information technology, all those are pretty much, I think, the average person could guess what might be, what type of companies may be entailed. There are some, though, are a little more not as clear, transparent, I think, and essentially consumer discretion.
Yeah, discretionary.
Right. And, you know, I think the word you just said is the key to that. You know, there's certain areas, food being one, clothing, beverages, things, medication, housewares. There's certain things that you're going to buy regardless of economic conditions, whether you got a raise or not raise, no raise whatsoever. And so those tend to be known as consumer staple type companies. So it's food and beverages and housewares, clothing, tobacco, prescription drugs. Those are all. But on the discretionary side, tends to be a little more of the bigger ticket items, the things that you don't necessarily have to buy You know, year after year, month after month, it tends to, you buy them when sometimes you do need them, but sometimes when it just works out. So you're looking like in that particular area, things like, automobiles.
Okay.
Things, like appliances and, housing, you know, or things related to improving your house. You know, vacations, entertainment type things where
movies
and trips and, mm-hmm. And things like that. And, what tends to be, a really interesting indicator is that when these particular companies are doing well and their earnings are coming in, it really reflects on the health of the economy and the average consumer, because they're feeling compelled, they're feeling confident enough to go out and make these major purchases.
Okay, so like if all of a sudden there's a big drop in consumer discretionary spending, that's kind of a red flag that's a slowdown might be coming?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we obviously see that, and that's why oftentimes when you listen to whatever your favorite financial network is and they talk about consumer sentiment, they talk about consumer spending, that's why that is such an often quoted statistic, because as the consumer goes, especially in the United States, pretty much so goes the economy.
Okay. And I would imagine one of the more popular sectors historically was industrials?
Well, I would say that's probably correct. You know, that's a little arbitrary. Yeah, but that essentially is your manufacturing, and obviously if we look backwards, the really growth of America was the manufacturing sector. The steel and automotive, and in our area, paper and those things. So, those are the ones that comprise the industrials, and which had pretty much been the major sector for a long, long time. And then, I think in the last maybe 20 years, give or take, service companies have started becoming more of a larger percentage of the overall number of companies.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to look at the historical S&P and what's hot now, what's been hot in the past, as we learn more about the S&P 500 on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 424-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Looking for a fun part-time job? WFHR and WRCW Radio is in need of control room board operators. These folks help put the high school football broadcasts on our radio stations. All that's required from you is to be dedicated and to be efficient in your work. Computer skills are a plus, but not required. We will train the right people. Stop by the WFHR WRCW studios to fill out a job application, or you can drop off a resume. It's a fun part-time job. See Haver Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have a blend of clouds and sun, high of 79. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 15. For tonight, it'll be mostly clear, low of 55. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. As we start off the weekend for Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny, a little bit warmer at a high near 80. For Sunday, we'll see more sun than clouds with a high near 82. And for Monday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherEye.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Sunny skies and 73 degrees at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. We're learning about the S&P 500. Let's look at the historical S&P. what's hot now, what's been hot, among these different sectors, what's been the trends throughout the years?
You know, it's interesting if you look over the as far back as history takes us, there really is a vast difference in the annualized returns in certain sectors, and I think people would be somewhat surprised that technology is the lowest returning sector over history, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be personally didn't look into that as much, but they are last with a return of 1.05%. And so when you look at the historic run technology made in the late mid-80s to 2000s, and then basically the last decade hasn't done anything, it shows you, to me, my initial reaction is that technology is usually a sector you want to be in at the right time, and you certainly want to be out at the right time, because if you look at 2009, for example, technology as a sector and the components in that sector returned 50%,
okay,
which is an obviously outlandish return.
Yes, it is.
All right. You know, there's several times, including this year, technology is the second least productive sector in things. So that particular segment... And then the next in line is financials, and financial story is relatively simple. It seems, if you go back through history, probably between every 5 and 7 years, they blow up.
Right.
Know, in 2000, or 98, we had a crisis. In 2008, we had a crisis. In 1990, give or take 1 or 2 years, we had the SNL crisis. And so they have 4 or 5 years, they make all the money, and then they lose it all in 1 year. And so, again, particular information that leads to, you know, what you're seeing is now they've been terrible for the most part still till last year. From 2007 to 2011, no one made any money. You lost money and stuff. But now things are starting to turn. And so if you're more of a trading type mentality, you look at these two and you go, wow, at some point here they're going to turn and I want to be on the ship. The flip side of that is that energy,
mm-hmm,
has been the best at 10.38% since inception of that. In the last 10 years, it's been up 14.3%. And so, you know, to me, that indicates that every portfolio should at all times have some weighting in energy, because it's over time has been the consistently best return on investment. So, part of talking about this today is that, you know, everybody wants to be in the best sectors at the best time. And so history has proven that if you were overweighted in certain of these sectors, you have outperformed in this in terms of the cumulative returns. If you had been in the top half, five of the top, you know, majority of money, mm-hmm, in the five of the top half, over the last 10 years, your return has been almost 9% versus about 7% in just being equal weighted in all the S&P 500. So having the ability to correctly identify where the next sector is going to be, and having maybe overweighting in those particular sectors does give you the potential of the juicy returns.
That gets into, how do you get invested in the S&P? What kind of vehicles are available for the investor to take advantage of this?
Well, if you do the sector investing, the S&P as a general 500, you have your ETFs and you have your mutual funds,
mm-hmm,
and you're equally weighted. You know, some are equally weighted, some are weighted by market cap, depending on what your preference is. But if you want to try and take advantage of a particular sector, what I've found is the most effective way to do that is something called exchange-traded funds, commonly known as ETFs, where you can get into all these particular sectors where the portfolio is comprised of names in those particular sectors. And I found them quite intriguing because some of the ones I use, and you start dissecting what's in those portfolios, you go, whoa, I'd love to own this, this, and this, mm-hmm. and they're already packaged in there for you. Let me give you a little example.
Sure.
In healthcare, all right, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Merck, Bristol-Myers, Amgen, United Health, Biogen, all names that have been here for a long, long time and will continue to be here. Another one that I just find quite interesting is that if going back to the technology sector, technology, and especially if you've watched the earnings results in this last quarter, which is an atypical, Microsoft reported earnings and quickly lost about 4.5 points.
Right.
Cisco yesterday reported earnings and they were down about 2 points. And you go right on down the system. But here's a portfolio and of Apple, Microsoft, Google, IBM, AT&T, Verizon, Cisco, Oracle, Qualcomm, and Intel. As at a collective group, those are all stocks that I'd love to own in this type of portfolio, because, you know, when Microsoft gets beat up, Google goes up. So you kind of hedge your bet, and you get a little, it gives you a little more defensive on the downside. But you can invest in each one of the individual sectors of the S&P through this ETF.
Okay. Now, in terms of choosing, like you've talked about the importance of being in the right sectors, is healthcare going to be one that some are predicting is going to be a hot sector to be in the future?
I think that healthcare continues to be a bigger percentage of the overall GNP of the country. I think that the amount of money put into this particular sector will continue to grow. I mean, you think about the Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act, if implemented, and when it's implemented, I guess, you know, you're talking about putting 35 million more people to have health care. What does that mean for health care? Obviously, that increases the demand, and so you got to have the supply to potentially meet that demand. The innovations, the pursuit of cures, obviously, looking backwards, has been a major reason why the average age continues to lengthen here. Mm-hmm. I see no change in that particular thing. So, you know, I think that healthcare is a particularly interesting place to be. Over time, it's been about the fourth best performing sector, and I would not be surprised that continues to stay in that top half easily.
What other sectors are you looking at with extra interest?
All right. I think that we're kind of in a unique little period of time, and these would be sectors that I would think over the next period of time, 2-3 years, let's say, for want of having some kind of time frame. The first one would be a topic that I think we talked about in one of the last shows, and that's the industrial sector.
Right.
The industrial sector, again, to remind people, are more of the manufacturing companies, just to give you a taste of what we're talking about. That would be like General Electric, United Technologies, Boeing, 3M, Honeywell, Caterpillar, those type of companies. And the reason I think about those companies is, one, we've been on the air and documented that over 50% of the S&P 500 has basically said they were going to bring manufacturing back here. So you got to build factories, you've got to build machinery and things like that. I think that the other thing that goes on there is that we've talked about the amount, huge amounts of cash getting 0% on the corporate sheet balance sheets. Well, at some point in time, when confidence and gets increasingly to the point that, hey, we've got to add, we got to make capital expenditures, we've got to buy machinery and stuff. And I think that is pretty close to coming. And so we've got billions of dollars that are going to probably be used to upgrade and improve and start again. So I like that. The second one is we talked about earlier, being the best sector ever. I continue to just think that the what's going on in America, the energy, the fracking, natural gas abundance, building pipelines, building refineries, this isn't a short-term deal. This is a long-term deal that will continue to bode well for many different sectors. But the amount of oil and natural gas that's in here in our country and that we will continue to pursue obviously bodes well for the people drilling, the machinery that goes into it, the service companies, and that particular sector. And so those are two I like a great deal. In the short term, I do think over the course of the next couple years with my bullishness on the, is the financials will probably continue to be a fairly good place to be because they're still relatively depressed. They're under book value. They're going to start to be able to pay dividends as the handcuffs get taken off them, as their capital reserves get better. And if I was to throw a fourth one in, and this is kind of on the coattails of the industrial, is technology. So two of the worst performing sectors, I think, as everything is cyclical, go to the top. And technology, going to the cloud, new systems, nanotechnology, there's a lot of things going on. We've talked about 3D printing, some of those things that, so those would be the four that if I was going to overweight, I'd make sure we have some in. I think consumer staples have had a great run in here. Utilities, with interest rates potentially going up, you know, I don't think they're not going to be quite as attractive and things. So those are some of the things we like at Buena Vista.
Okay. What, when you look at these different sectors, what are the signs that you look at and you say, okay, this it's time now to get into this sector, or it's time to reduce our exposure in this sector?
Well, I think that you're talking a little bit about valuation. And valuation, it can be measured by a lot of things. One of the top measurements is the multiple of earnings they're selling at. And then you compare that to the historic averages. And in the consumer staple sector, for example, a lot of these stocks are now selling at 18 to 20 plus times earnings, and they're only growing at maybe 5 to 12%, 5 to 10%. So there's a lot of good news priced in that particular sector, whereas the financials, a lot of them are still priced at below book value. They're priced at multiples of earnings, or maybe more like 8 times. And so you look at that as a starting point, and then you kind of dissect and look at what will be a catalyst. Well, what things will be happening that will increase their earnings and on the bank side of it. You know, one of the ironic things of interest rates going up is that it helps banks because their spreads on the margins they make on their rates are more, which translates into more money coming in the door. And we're seeing rates go higher on the long end, but not necessarily in the short end. And so that money should be translated in the banks, should continue to improve their balance sheets, should be able to come back to you in dividends. And so you look at valuation, then you look at what's the catalyst that turns these into winners.
Okay. Well, we've learned a lot, ladies and gentlemen, today. And one thing is I'm going to pay more attention to the S&P 500 than the Dow Jones. Pete, very enlightening as always, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, you can reach them at 715-422-0700.